Jesus, we ask you now to help us to remain with you always, to be close to you with all the ardor of our hearts, to take up joyfully the mission you entrust to us, and that is to continue your presence and to spread the good news of your resurrection in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever met someone and instantly felt like you've always known that person? Or have you known someone and just felt like you belong together somehow, whether romantically, perhaps, or just as close friends? If so, you may have recognized a spiritual connection with another human being. We meet a large number of people in our lifetime, each one unique in their own ways. However, there really are only a few that we can really connect to. Some are ones we developed a spiritual connection with, and they last, and that lasts for eternity. Spiritual connections are not something we should take lightly. When you are spiritually connected with someone, it is much deeper than a normal bond you might share. Spiritual connection, I think, is one of the strongest bonds you can ever have with someone. In the gospel reading from John, Jesus illustrates this same bond when he defines his relationship with his Abba, who has given substance to his whole life, who he was, what he did, and how he related to others. The Father and I are one. Jesus has come up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Booths, and now, according to John, was the Feast of Dedication, which happened about 2 months later. We know it as Hanukkah, a winter festival that commemorated the rededication of the temple, where 200 years ago, before the birth of Christ, Greek soldiers captured and pillaged the temple, taking its treasures and its artifacts. In the winter of 165-164 BC, a Jewish army led by Judas Maccabee reclaimed the temple and rededicated it to the Lord. And during the festival of Hanukkah, the priests reflect on their commitment to service, using Ezekiel 34 as their text. This chapter in Ezekiel explains the judgment of the Lord on the shepherds, the leaders who do not take care of the flocks. The Lord will judge the fat sheep and will intervene as a good shepherd to feed the remainder of the flock. And the image of the shepherd perfectly conveys the toughness and tenderness of God's dealing with his people. And Jesus uses that same relation, that same image, to describe his relationship with the people as the great shepherd of the sheep. So the relationship between the shepherd and the flock is one of closeness, intimacy, and trust. And I was thinking, Ron, as you were reading that text, about the sheep know my voice and they follow me. And I thought, that's the thing about sheep, is even if there's grass on the other side, they don't move, right? They keep on eating the same grass. And I thought, wow, that's kind of what happens. There are those who want to sneak over the wall of the sheepfold rather than go through the gate. And Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. They don't need the shepherd's help. They're unable to trust that the shepherd has their best interests at heart and wants only to protect them. They don't need a shepherd to lead, to guide, to comfort, to protect or love them. They could not make, those who heard Jesus use this illustration did not understand what he meant. They could not make the connection that the shepherd who knows his sheep by name leads them, gathers them, walks ahead of them, and protects them. It is the relationship Jesus has with those who put their trust in him. Who do you put your trust in? Thank you. Who do you put your trust in? They weren't, not everybody sees the same, and sometimes we might have to explain different spiritual principles in several different ways. And that's what Jesus does. He explains principles again and again with different images and metaphors. And he tells us right up front that he is the gate, the opening, the door. He's the door, the entrance, the one who provides the path for the sheep to follow. Jesus says, I am the one who will provide protection. I'm the one who saves the sheep from thieves and from robbers. I'm not simply any old run-of-the-mill gate, but I am the gate. A definite article meaning unique, specific, not like any other. And Jesus says, I'll lay down my life. I'll lay down my life for those who know me, who recognize my voice and come to me. And in verse 9, he says, those who come in through me will be saved. They will be looked after. They will be able to come and go freely because they are in him and they abide in him, the good shepherd. And Jesus leads his sheep to good pastures where the sheep can thrive and grow. I believe that the good pastures represent the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. Thieves and robbers are the cares of the world, and they want to destroy the rich and satisfying life promised by the great shepherd of the sheep. When we enter the gate through Jesus Christ and live in him, that little word in, then we have an opportunity to become a love giver and a receiver of grace. A love giver and a receiver of grace. And staying close to the shepherd, we can hear him say, you are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. The Father and I are one. His final answer is his identity, oneness with the Father. The oneness serves our eternal safety and joy. And this has a huge impact on our lives, our faith, our love, our marriages, our community, our singlehood, our money, our peace, our joy, our courage. Jesus is one with the Father, and before he goes to the cross at Calvary, he prays for his future disciples. This is from John 17, 20. I am praying not only for those disciples, not only for these disciples, but also for those who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. Jesus prays 2,000 years ago that we experience a profound spiritual intimacy, a connection with a God, a oneness, and be transformed from the inside out. Remember the principle, we live on the outside. What's going on in the inside? That's why it's really important to feed that spiritual component. Jesus prayed that we would be one with the triune God and represent them, ensuring that our relationships reflect the credibility of Christ in the world. Remember, that's why when we mess up and people know we're Christians, that's why they go, oh, yeah, right. That's why it's a huge responsibility, I'm finding, to say I'm a follower of Christ. When there is disunity, fighting, and intolerance, our credibility in the world is unconvincing. And we are experiencing that now in the world. I hear a lot of conversations about trying to find a purpose in life. Yet I believe if we concentrated on our spiritual growth, becoming one with God and less on our circumstances, the world will see and come to believe in the good news that Jesus has to offer. God's desire is that accepting Christ and embracing the Holy Spirit, we experience the kind of love, knowing that kind of oneness that Jesus had with his Abba, his Daddy. We come to believe and receive that we are one with him and that there is no separation. We are never alone. We are never apart. and we are never without him. This is good news. This is God's word. And this is God's truth. Let us pray. And this is by St. Ignatius. Accept, O Lord, and treat as your own my liberty, my understanding, my memory, all my decisions, and my freedom to choose. All that I am and all that I have, you gave and give to me. Now I turn and return all to you, looking to find your hopes and will in all. Keep giving me your holy love. Hold me in your life-giving gaze so that I neither need or want anything else but to be one with you. Amen.